Social Sales. I'm your host, Chelsea Pites, and today we are going to be talking about Instagram stories, mainly because I just read a statistic that, well, it doesn't really surprise me. I was going to say blew my mind, but let's be real. I'm not surprised by any of the leaps and bounds that stories format has made, especially on Instagram stories. So 500 million daily users. 500 million daily users. That's huge. Yeah, I said huge. 500 million daily users of stories. So that's half, a little bit over half of the daily users of Instagram, period. So this is daily, you guys. This isn't weekly. This isn't monthly. This is people going in every single day and consuming content via stories and or creating content via stories. And as you might recall from some of my other podcasts, one in five Instagram stories results in a direct message. So not only are people consuming and creating content in this format, but they are conversing and having conversations, oftentimes multiple text message, direct messages back and forth through this interface. So I, I've predicted that social media is basically going to become stories. And I'm happy about that because I personally love the format. I will tell you as well, and I feel kind of bad saying this, but people ask me all the time, well, if we're moving to stories, should I just stop posting in the feed? No, I don't think you should stop posting in the feed. I mean, me, myself, and I don't post every day in the feed. I post when I feel like I have something to say, when I have a piece of content that I feel like I want to share. I need to be a little bit more consistent. I'm not posting like every Tuesday and Thursday or Monday, Wednesday, Friday. I'm just, you know, posting when I have something that I want to share. So I have to be honest, confession though, I don't really scroll through the feed, and I know Instagram looks at that. I know they can tell if I'm a scroller through the feed, if I'm liking stuff, or if I'm all in the stories. I'm pretty much all in the stories 100% of the time. I may scroll through a little bit and then I'm like, I want to go to the stories. So if you're in the feed, I'm probably missing a lot of the stuff that you're posting because my preference is the stories. And I believe that now we've got 500 million daily active users going into that stories format. If you are not in stories, you need to be there. And not just in Instagram, you need to be there in Facebook stories as well. And guess what? It's not saturated in Facebook stories. That means that there is an opportunity for you because people aren't really using it as much. They just don't get it over there, especially for people who are like, I'm all Facebook. I'm team Facebook. I don't really like Instagram. I don't really get it. They haven't really gotten over there yet. This is very new, and you can do stories not only from your personal profile, but you can do them in groups. You can do stories from your business page. You can do stories from all of these different places, and you can create content that is more human and more relatable. The best thing about telling a story, and we hear this buzzword all the time, storytelling and yada, yada, yada. What does that mean? It just basically means, you know, sharing your life, as Gary Vee says, documenting, not creating. I do both. I document and create, but I believe that he says that because he doesn't want the pressure, you know, people to feel like this pressure that they have to create content. It's simple as just talking about your day or what you're doing and documenting it, which I appreciate. I do both. I document and I create. I create educational content. You've probably caught my podcast on the 5 E's of content. If you haven't, go back and listen to that. But it's really about just sharing your life. And what happens is this beautiful thing happens when you're sharing your life. And again, I'm not talking about all the private details of your life. There's a whole podcast that I did about personal versus private. Listen to it. But what I'm talking about is being relatable and human. And what happens is as you're going about your day, talking about what you're doing or your business, especially if you're in real estate or lending, listen, you never have to ask for a referral. And it's like you don't have to remind people what you do and you don't have to ask for the sale or the referral most of the time, because if you're documenting what you're doing, if you're talking about your day-to-day, if you're talking about your community, if you're showing that you're active and serving your clients, they're going to know that you're a real estate agent and that you're actually doing the things that you should be doing. And that is going to speak volumes. So you don't really have to have a sales pitch. You can just tell the story, which is awesome. So I love that. So Instagram stories, one of my favorites. It started really back in Snapchat. I don't know if any of you have ever used Snapchat. I was a huge, huge, huge Snapchat person. I wrote the book on Snapchat, actually, literally. Like, I think I'm the only person that wrote a book on Snapchat and how it basically changed communication in our brains, which I still believe truly. And I know that that's why it's so important for you to be on Instagram and Facebook stories, because this was so important that Facebook and Instagram were like, whoa. People are moving away from the feed. They're moving away from the noise. They want to pick. As consumers today in 2019, we want to choose. We want to choose who we talk to. We want to choose if we're seeing commercials or not. We want to choose what kind of content we want to see, and also what people are seeing our content. And that's why Snapchat became such a big deal, because first of all, it was disappearing and people were like, oh, disappearing content. Why would anybody want disappearing content? Well, the answer was attention. And what happened is you would miss it. You know, if you didn't tune in that day, it was just like not having a rerun. 90210 would play on Wednesday night. And if you missed it, then you'd have to wait a couple years to get the rerun of it. So it was about attention, but it was also about being human. It was about saying, hey, every day I wake up and I have a new day and I'm a new person. And that's very much what the idea was about, this being in real time and having these shared experiences where now I can actually talk to somebody while it's happening. So that's why stories really took off. And then, of course, the vertical screen aspect of it, which now everything has gone vertical. And that was really a nod to the fact that when it's vertical, of course, you hold your phone that way. But also, if you think about it, if you're watching a full screen vertical video, and this is really important for Facebook too. So when you're going like Facebook Live, I do a lot of Facebook Lives from my desktop, so obviously it's horizontal. But what I will tell you is if you do a vertical video in Facebook, it's going to show up bigger than any other kind of video that's done in Facebook, you know, whether it's horizontal. If you have vertical, it shows up, like takes up like 3/4 of the screen. The story takes up the whole screen. And what happens there is that you don't get distracted. There's no ads. There's no other comments. There's no other posts. Like, literally, it's you and the person's content, period. That's it. And right now, at least on my feed, I don't get a lot of ads on my stories. I get tons of ads in my feed. Literally every other post is an ad in my Facebook feed. So it's a better user experience for me as well. So let's talk about, well, what kind of content do I make? And this is going to sound glib, and I don't mean it to sound this way, but I'm a big believer in talking about whatever you do without talking about whatever you do. So when real estate agents come to me, or people that are in sales, and they say, okay, this is what I do, and I know I need to create content. Yes, we do need to create content around our expertise, because we've got to let people know that this is our brand. This is what we do. If you're a real estate agent or a lender, you definitely need to make content around that particular topic, but it doesn't and it shouldn't be that all the time. It has to be you talking about what you're doing without talking about what you're doing. Here's an example. If I'm a real estate agent and I go out and interview the mayor, or if I interview, you know, my amazing lawn care person, or if I interview the person at the local cafe that has the secret recipe off the menu that I'm going to talk about in my live video today, or whatever it is. The point of that is that, yes, you're not standing in front or inside of a house, you know, talking about this is a 3-bedroom, 2-bath, and here's the price and all of that. But you are associating your brand with the community. And that's how you talk about real estate without talking about real estate. You could do the same thing for lending. You could talk about how you're helping your clients. You could talk about the culture of your office. You could have you in the setting of your business. You could be teaching a class if you teach classes on first-time home buying and how to get qualified. And it just positions you as being in that industry without having to talk about what exactly it is that you're doing, right? So I would encourage you to think about, how do you talk about whatever your thing is that you do without just specifically saying, here's what I do, and today I'm going to give you a tip on this. Those are important, but it has to be relatable and it has to feel natural. And I will tell you that that's where that document versus creating comes in. When you're sort of just documenting what you're doing, it feels very authentic and very real and relatable. And you don't have to come up with all of this content in our minds, this box that we put around content. Now, I also want to talk about stories being important because they are raw and unedited. I talk to a lot of people who are like, hey, I only want to make high quality edited videos, which in my mind, in today's day and age, means you have to know how to edit or use technology, or outsource it or hire it. And if you are busy, then you probably definitely need to outsource it. You might even need a film crew. You're going to have lighting. Let me tell you this. There is absolutely scientific evidence that people are watching stories because they feel like it's real because it's not edited. And if you're worried about having crappy video quality, people will watch crappy video. They will not listen to crappy audio, which is why it's important if you're making a podcast or a live video or any kind of video that people can hear you. But they are willing to forgive because they believe it's real. And what happens is when people see real, quote unquote, real, air quotes, they trust and they say, this person I can trust, and they don't even know it's happening, right? So that's really what I want to encourage you, is that stories has been taking the world by storm because it feels real, because it is real and people trust real. So if you're not using it, it's definitely time to jump in and create content, you know, around your daily life and what you're doing. I definitely encourage talking to the camera. I definitely encourage video so people hear your voice and can talk to you, not just pictures. Pictures are important, but you guys remember too, is that the nature of Instagram stories specifically is tapping, like tap, 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 tap. You've got to like come up with a way to stop the tap. And some of those tips and tricks that I'm going to share with you are something simple as including text on your video. One of the things that I do for people who do listen without the sound off, I watch people's stories without sound because sometimes I'm in a place where I may not have my earbuds and I still want to consume the content and see what's going on in their life. And if somebody has a little bit of context and some, you know, words on that screen, it helps me understand more of what they're doing. Now, I don't advocate typing in exactly what you're saying. For example, if I was talking about, you know, something that happened today, I might have like an aside or like an addition to or like a little summary statement of what I'm sort of talking about that goes along with the video. Also, it stops the eye because when you see text, you know, you can't help but read it. You don't have to do this on everything, but it definitely does help. Another way that you can increase your viewership, your reach, your possible discoverability is using hashtags in your stories, because those hashtags are searchable just like they are in the greater Instagram or, you know, the feed, so to speak. And so that therein comes another strategy of creating, you know, your hashtag strategy. And you know, from what I have personally tried and what I've seen a lot of other people who teach heavily Instagram, it's sort of this layering effect of some larger hashtags, some mid-sized hashtags, some smaller ones. You know, you don't want to go for the like the really big ones. Like hashtag real estate is really big, and so it might be harder to get found or seen for that, or you might just, you know, for a split second be seen. But adding a hashtag to your story will help in the discoverability and reach. What happens is if somebody's searching for that hashtag and they come across that hashtag story, for example, hashtag real estate, they can tap into it and see all the people's stories who've been crowdsourced into that larger group story. And if they find something that they like, they can actually tap on the person's name, go to their bio and profile, and decide if they want to follow them. So that's a strategy that a lot of people are doing to grow their network. And so that's something that you can definitely do to increase your story reach. As far as engagement goes, you know my opinion. You've got to be out there talking to people before you can expect people to talk to you. So get into their stories, get into their DMs, talk to them, and be thoughtful. No sales pitches, of course. Never sell in the DM. It's spammy. Nobody likes it. You'll get blocked. But you need to take the proactive approach. And if you want to grow your network and engagement, you need to actually engage first. The other things that you can do to help increase engagement, and I believe that this is that Instagram's algorithm does look at these types of things. There's a couple things you can do. They have engagement stickers. They have like the poll stickers where you can just type in two different answers. It could be as simple as yes or no, or you could just make up your own. You could use emojis. That gives people an easy way to start engaging with you and your content. And also it sort of trains people to stop and, you know, give you some sort of feedback, and it could start a conversation. There's the ask me a question sticker. You can then share those back to your story. People can ask questions and you can repost them. And that's kind of cool because, you know, then you can kind of crowdsource your content there. So there's those definite engagement stickers. The other things you can do is you can encourage people to turn their sound on. So for example, if I'm doing a story and there's something that they need to actually listen to, even though I may have text there, I put the little GIFs. You can actually, the GIFs, you can actually go into the story section and you can select the GIF and it could say sound on or swipe up or whatever the little action is. And you can put that on your story. So that's another way that you can kind of get people to increase their engagement, so to speak. Now, we all know that if you tap a story, it goes to the next one. And sometimes what I do is I give a prompt and I'll say, hey, tap for more or tap to reveal or whatever it may be. Now, it's not actually a button that is going to change anything because it's just tapping anyway. But you could put like an emoji, like the finger pointing or like a circle or whatever it is, and say tap here for more info. And when they tap it, it goes to the next story. Kind of gives them like a feeling of like a sense of control or being involved in the actual story. So little things like that, if you have something that is like a blog post or a list and you want people to read it, you can actually put hold to read. Some people don't know that if you press and hold on an Instagram story, you can pause it. You can actually stop and look at it and read it. So that's something that you can do to help encourage engagement. I've seen some people do those really cool wallpapers. Actually, Gary Vee does wallpapers. You can screenshot it and then use it as your background for your phone. You could definitely do that. And then I've seen those quizzes too, where it'll have like almost like a line down the center. And then on one side, it's like, I don't know, winter. And then other side, it's summer. And it's kind of like either or. And you can like take a screenshot and circle it, you know, and then repost it. So it's just different ways like that that you can increase engagement. The number one way that you can increase your community and grow engagement, of course, is by proactively commenting. And just so you know, the more that you consume someone's content and the more that you comment on their stories and engage with them, it does affect the algorithm. And you might notice that as you're talking to people more often or watching their story, you're like, gosh, it seems like their story always shows up in the front of my feed and vice versa. So as you're engaging with people, your stuff is going to show up more because Instagram and Facebook, they're all going to say, oh, well, it looks like, you know, Chelsea and Sally like to talk to each other. So we'll make sure that they, you know, kind of see each other a little bit more. So those are really important things to think about as far as Instagram stories. So we've talked about the boom of the stories and the why. We've talked about some tips on creating content and engagement and growth. What I would encourage you now is to go out there and watch other people's stories. I do a story every single day. I've been doing stories for probably almost 1,200 days in a row now. If I'm not doing a story, then something is terribly wrong. You should call the police. You should send someone out because there is something awry in my life that I am not out there doing a story. I definitely encourage you to connect with me there. And if you're listening to this podcast, send me a message and let me know that you came from this podcast. I would love to talk to you. I love talking to people through stories and DM. And if I, for some reason, miss following you back, please let me know so that I can do that. Sometimes it does, you know, I get missed on the notifications because I time block my social, but I want to talk to you and I want to see your stories. And by watching other people create their stories, it's going to give you some inspiration to create some of your own content. So thanks so much for listening, you guys. Again, you can find me on all the socials by my name, Chelsea.Peitz. That's P-E-I-T-Z. I look forward to talking with you next week.